You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Whoa, Nelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, he's early today.
You know, just a day late. That's all right. I definitely was not as early as I was yesterday. I'm just getting on to 696 right now. So we would have been opposite today. I would have been late, and you would have been early.
But we weren't supposed to meet today, so no harm, no foul. And I don't even know why I'm out on the road this early today. When I got up, showered last night before I went to bed. So that's unusual for me. I generally shower in the morning. When I keep my hair really short, I can shower at night. But I cannot. When my hair is a little bit longer, man, I suffer from pillow head, something awful.
Yep, I know how that goes. That's one of the reasons that I keep it short, because I do like showering at night, so I don't have to do it in the morning. But, it can get pretty rowdy when you have hair that's a little bit longer.
I was at the barber, and I went to like a Bo Ricks or something, I can't remember, one of them places, but not really a barber, but Barbara's. Anyhow, she goes, oh, your scalp's dry. She goes, did you ever, and she put this lavender, I hate lavender, this lavender stuff in my hair. She said, it's called taming cream. And I thought, well, and I found some for men at was that company that sells all the shaving stuff. I bought some of theirs, and it doesn't smell like lavender. So I'll use that sometimes. Again, you got to keep the hair relatively short, but when it starts to get a little bit longer and pillow head sets in, I can use a little bit of that taming cream. Kind of get it under control.
Yep, you gotta try to get it from sticking in every direction.
Yeah, you know it. Anyhow, on another note, I've got a ICOM IC-R8600. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those. It's there. DC to daylight general coverage receiver, and I got that. I've got my FT5 VR, my IC51A plus 2, or my Elenco 878 UV 2 plus. I got them all with me. I'm going to get them all cleaned up and photographed, pictures, and get them all boxed up and get them all listed.
Very cool. Where are you going to list them?
I'm going to start with Facebook Marketplace. I've had very good luck with Facebook Marketplace. And if that doesn't work, then I may put them on Eham, is it? I don't know. There's one of them I've had, I think it's Eham classified, I've had the best luck with. But usually when you're in those amateur forums, you can expect to ship. And I found that with the Facebook Marketplace, more often than not, I find local buyers.
Cool. Yeah, I still have to post the my 891, and then see if there's any other gear that I want to put up for sale, just to kind of clear up some space and hone down on what I'm actually using.
Well, for me, you know, I looked at all of them sitting there, and I'm thinking, you know, I haven't pulled any one of these out of their charging cradle in months. They're just sitting there, and I rarely, if ever, use them. They don't do any, they don't add any functionality or feature that I don't currently have in other ways. Like, I've still got Fusion, I've still got D-Star, and I've still got, BMR with other radios, and I just don't, you know, I don't ever use them for any reason. Now, granted, I would probably use them more if when I retire, because, you know, I got work radios that I use almost exclusively now. But then I got to thinking, well, that's the thing to do: get rid of all of these and then go buy a work radio. So I'm just thinking, instead of having five or six radios I never ever use, sell them all and buy, bite the bullet and buy the one I'll always use.
Yep, that's a great logical line of thinking, because we all accumulate a ton of gear, and there's always that one thing that we've deemed too expensive, right? And if we just sell a bunch of it off, suddenly have most of the money or all of the money for that one thing that is going to fix your problem.
Yeah, I'm currently working an angle right now. I'm going to try to get a Kenwood VM 8000. That's the current, you know, their current multi-band, multi-mode mobile. I'm going to try to get one of those for my car. And I was going to get one anyhow, you know, just if the price is right. But if I can get rid of this gear and get most of the price, that receiver alone should fetch me somewhere between $15,000 and $2,000 with the accessories I got with it. So just that receiver that's been just sitting in a box collecting dust should fetch me, you know, a significant portion. And, but if I had that mobile, and this is fantasy, but then I thought I'd get the tape portable. So I'd have the Kenwood multi-band, multi-mode for the car and the tape as a handheld.
No more R8600 already?
It's sitting in a box, you know? And I so badly want one of these expensive multi-band, multi-mode commercial radios, and I'm thinking, why not have that instead of that sitting in a box? Yes, that's the case. Good morning, Dakota.
There's nothing wrong with that thought process. I like it. KE8RUH.
Good morning, NADBF. I'd be the most hypocritical person if I gave you any hard time for selling a radio. So, no, I don't blame you. That's how I look at things. If I'm not using it, do I really need it?
Right. And then add to that the fact I really want, you know, that, you know, one of those two radios. And they're just, you know, financially out of range. But I get rid of all these other things. I don't know what I can get for the FT5, the 51, the Elenco. I mean, you know, if I sell all the handhelds, you know, I might, and then I've got an extra mobile surplus I need. I got to figure out, I got a 200, a 400, and a 500. And I've got other mobiles, too, that, you know, but if I sell one of those, you know, I probably get pretty near a grand there. So, you know, I got about $3,000 worth of crap sitting there that I never use.
Turn it into cash. That's a quick way to get what you want, that's for sure. It is often frustrating when you realize how much cash you have laying around and stuff you don't use. So you might as well capitalize on it and then have less stuff sitting around.
My bad, I'm getting gas. Be right back, NADBF.
All righty, we'll save a spot for you. Yep, and, and it doesn't stop there. If I start thinking about, you know, some of the other gear I got, like amplifiers, oh my God. I've got so many amplifiers, and each one has a spot, you know, or kind of a way I'd use it. You know, I got this one, well, that'll be, you know, I use that with, like, you know, the vintage gear. But then I went ahead and I got a matching amp for my favorite piece of vintage gear. And I'm thinking, well, am I going to use that Henry if I've got the Drake? You know, they're both similar, you know, in their function. And both are sitting. You know, there's a few grand there. And I got a solid state amp that's worth, you know, north of a grand. I got two solid state amps. I got the one I'd likely use, and then I got the one that I'm not using and don't know when I'd ever use it. I just got a, you know, hell, I got $3,000 worth of amps just loaned out right now. I've never used them, never turned them on. I know they work because somebody else is putting them to the test for me. Has been for a couple of years now, and I have no plans to get them back. It's like, it's nuts.
Sounds like maybe you should be trying to sell them to the people that have been using them. That's an easy sale.
Oh, they'd buy them, there's no question. But I really don't want to sell those. The one amp I got loaned out is going to be the centerpiece of my shack when I get her done. And so that one's not going anywhere. I'm just glad it's getting some use in the meantime. And it's getting very good use, too. Somebody that really, you know, there's people that say, giving an opinion of something that, you know, one, didn't really do the test, or two, you know, you don't trust their opinion. What is that? What is that? Some sort of Cadillac. Looks like a station wagon, almost.
All right, I made it.
Go ahead, Dakota.
Very irresponsible. I filled up while the truck was running and unattended, but I'm on the road. I got to jet down to Sterling Heights, so figured I'd be in a hurry enough.
You know, it doesn't really matter if you pump gas with it running. There's so many shutoffs in between that and the engine that you're pretty safe. Now, I don't know about unattended. That could cost you some money if it overflows.
I'm not opposed to this truck bursting into flames, so we'll see.
Sean must be getting coffee already, or a bagel. Yeah, you know, the cars that you want to get stolen or you want to burst into flames, they never do.
Where's my... Do I go in here?
Go ahead.
You know, I was just dealing with some traffic where the M59 freeway dumps into Utica. There's a big traffic jam there by Van Dyke, so I... paying attention, just my turn.
Yeah, Anthony, it's frustrating. I like this truck. I wanted to buy this truck and keep this truck. And then the market flipped and the value's just not there. And it's actually, I don't know, there's really no issues with it, but I think my back window, the fifth window, is leaking. My wife sent me a picture the other day of water on the back seat. I'm like, that's weird. The only thing I can think of is I opened it when it was raining, so water was probably in the track. So I'm not going to chalk that up as a negative. And then there's an exhaust flapper, so it doesn't drone when it drops down to the fuel management garbage that they put in these things, and that squeaks, but that's an easy fix. So, I don't know. It's frustrating. You get a truck, you want to keep it, and then the market flips, and then it's 10 grand less valuable than what they're selling it for.
Yeah, I think it's going to go down even further. We'll see. I've been joking that I've been saving my pennies because I'm going to, when the vehicle market collapses like it did in 2008, I'm going to go buy a brand new F-250 for 30 grand, and everybody laughs at me, and I laugh at myself, but it could happen. We'll see.
Well, you know what that means? It means that you won. You won the lease game. Anytime you get to the end of a lease and the vehicle ain't worth anywhere near what the residual is, you won. So there's that. But yeah, you know, if you want to buy it.
I guess so. I paid $28,000 over 3 years. It's not terrible. When the vehicle is going to be 10 grand negative when I give it back to them. So, what's that breakdown to? That's really actually not that bad, less than 10 grand a year.
If it gets you driving what you want to drive, it all makes sense.
Everybody struggles with the lease versus buy thing. You know, the people that'll lease. There's some people that just will never lease, you know, although they're getting to be fewer. But there were quite a few people, you know, just a few years back that, I'll never lease. You don't own it, you know. And it's like, you really think you own that car you quote-unquote bought? Unless you're paying cash, stop making a payment. You'll find out real quick who actually owns it.
Oh, that's just it. That's how I look at it. Yeah, I'm wedged into a mileage cap, but I can always just pay a little bit more to get out of it versus I bought something, it turns out to be a piece of crap, and then it's my problem. At least if I'm leasing something and it's a piece of crap, I say, here's your garbage bag, give me another one.
Yeah, and unfortunately, these vehicles are so expensive, and there's a lot of them that are turning out to be crap. They're just not... There's too many computerized parts, and I had a coworker that just bought a truck, or leased a truck. He didn't have it for 2 weeks, and he already had it back in for service. Everything on the dashboard was lighting up, and it's like, man, how can you be paying what you pay, and they can't even get it right?
My dad bought, I don't know if it was a T-Bird or a Taurus or something like that. It was a Ford. And he bought it, and he bought it from a Ford dealer on Rochester Road. And he got in his brand new Skippy car. He just took delivery of it, turned out onto Rochester Road, and the thing just died right there, making the turn out of the dealer parking lot, brand new. And they had to tow it in, figure out what was wrong with it. I was like, man, that's a hell of a start.
I think buying a vehicle is one of the biggest lotteries you can play, honestly. Some of them are great and you never have an issue with, and some of them are nothing but headache. I remember I bought my Buick Regal Turbo. It was a 2011. It was a certified pre-owned, 69,000 miles on it. Like, beautiful car. Back then, like, MSRP was like $43,000 on this thing. I didn't pay anywhere near that because it was used, but I'm like, sweet, certified pre-owned. That means they went through it. It's good as new. It's got a warranty. First day, the battery died, then it needed brakes, then it needed a transmission, then the sunroof was broken, then the hood prop was broken. I'm like, did you guys even look at this thing, or did you just put it on the lot after you bought it from auction?
Yeah, I can imagine. That is quite the experience. I've had some negative experiences with certified pre-owned and with leased vehicles, too. It's crazy how bad they can be. I'm pulling up here at the office. I will catch up with you gentlemen later. I'll get on the phone if I can. This is KE8RUH. Everybody have a great day.
All right, Anthony. We'll catch you later.
All right, Anthony. I'll talk to you.
All right. I just switched over to Mount Clemens. But, yeah, the whole lease thing, when I started doing it, I bought my last car in 2000. Well, except for the one I own right now. But around 2000, I started my lease journey. And I remember my father-in-law was like, oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, you know, it's just throwing your money away. And, you know, you don't own anything. And, you know, I'm thinking, if I want that particular car, so, you know, you go into the dealer and you find the car. Oh, this is the one I really want right here. And they say, okay, I can get you into that for, you know, for zero money going, you know, zero money and $500 a month. Okay, I'm just throwing a number out there. And you say, okay, good. I'm going to drive that. And for 2 or 3 years, for $500 a month, you drive that car. You know, really nice car. And then at the end, you have the option to buy it for this residual value, you know, and if it's worth less than it, you know, you hand it back. You didn't pay enough. Aha, they get to take the loss. If it's worth more, you buy the thing, right, and either sell it, make the profit, or whatever, you know. So now, let's say guy number two walks in. He's the same guy, but he just, oh, I can't lease. And he wants a $500 a month payment on that car. His downstroke has to be about the size of the residual to get the payment down to that, because that's the whole point. The residual is what you would have had to have put down to get that payment. So if he wants a $500 a month payment for 3 years, he has to put the downstroke in. It's the same as the residual. So it's just paying the down payment to get that payment at the end when you have a choice, as opposed to at the beginning where you're stuck.
I got a couple of rich buddies that are always, you know, you need to stop leasing. It's such a waste of money. Stop leasing. I'm like, dude, I don't have 50 grand to put down on a pickup that you just spent 110 on. Like, I don't make the money you make to do that. Like, yeah, it makes sense. When you can put that big of a downstroke, drive it for 3 or 4 years, pay it off, and then you have 50 grand of equity in it still. That's, you know, that's a luxury I don't have. So I like leasing it because, like I said, the newer these vehicles get, like every model year, I swear to God, the quality gets worse. They keep adding crap we don't need, and they become more and more of a problem, and they just keep jacking the price up. So that was my thought process with this truck. I had a company car at the time, so I did a 10,000-mile lease, which was dumb. But, you know, life happens, and now I'm over my miles. At the end of the year, or end of the lease, well, I guess end of the year, whoop-de-doo, I might be out $4,000 or $5,000, which, you know, you can always negotiate that as long as you're getting another vehicle from the same dealership, which I always get my trucks from the same guy. So my plan was to buy this thing out for the residual, which at the time when I was shopping around, the buyout on this was like $43,000, and used trucks on the lot were like $50,000. I'm like, perfect. I'll be, you know, I should have known better that things were going to change, but I knew I was going to be in a decent situation. Now, truck's worth like $36,000. Right now, it's like $50,000. I'm like, oh, good luck, GM. Have fun with your truck that you're never going to get your money back out of. So now I have the reset option, like you said. I'm not stuck with this thing. I'm not buried upside down. And I just got to ride it out, pay a little bit at the end because I drove too many miles, and then I get a brand new truck and start over.
K-E-A-W-O-J.
Hello, Rick. Sorry about that. I was at the drive-up window here. Go ahead and comment. Pass it over to Dakota.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
My drawer is here and sit down trying to get some blood into my fingers and toes again. It just don't look like winter's going to leave us. Anyway, I just wanted to say hello, good morning, and glad to hear you guys out there. Dakota, go ahead.
Good morning, Rick. Yep, I try to be out here Monday through Friday, but I think I'll be from home tomorrow, but it'll be the same repeater. Playing hooky. I think I'm going to do a little bit of work from home, half day-ish kind of thing tomorrow, and then take Friday. So I should be around maybe even a little bit more. Probably be the annoying guy throughout the day saying anyone out here.
You can say, you can key up, you know, all the time saying, radio check, can I get a radio check, radio check?
Yeah, actually, that'd be kind of good, actually, from my end. I got this thing tuned in most of the day kind of thing. It's usually dead quiet until you guys either go to lunch or on your way home again.
You know, I never mind a radio check. I just hate when they call it a radio check. If you just throw your call out and say, hey, NADBF testing the radio here. I'm up there. Can I get a quick signal report? You know, by all means, hello. But if it's NADBF, can I get a radio check? It's like, all right, you know, like, do you have another HD you can test? Or, like, can you connect the Parrot or something? Well, most of the time, they don't want a radio check. They just don't know how to start a conversation or how to just make their presence known. So they do that. And, you know, radio checks for when you've done something. I've changed an antenna. I've got a new radio. I just programmed it. You know, then you're truly, you know, hey, is this thing, you know, but again, don't say that. Just throw your call out there and say, you know, anybody around, if somebody says, yeah, what's up? And you can say, hey, I just got a new antenna. I was wondering if it's working, you know, so I just, there's just no place to actually say radio check in this. It's like every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, it was, but I've been known to be kind of a jerk about things that annoy me, you know, like first personals and what else is there? There's several other little things I'm like, oh, God, don't say that. Rick?
People like me.
You haven't said it in years.
Yeah, I guess when I first got my license, I was guilty of the same. I had no idea how to start a conversation kind of thing, so but I didn't really call for a radio check. I just throw it out there. Am I getting out? Anybody hearing this? And then the call sign kind of thing. Then, of course, you know, after you get using it a little while, you get afraid of the, you get over the mic fright kind of thing, and talk it becomes normal on these things, if not an addiction. Go ahead, KEAWOJ.
Yeah, you get comfortable after a while. I feel like I'm a little too comfortable. Got to remember that this is radio and there is etiquette. This lady next to me is doing everything in her power to not let me over. I kind of feel that way on HF, though. Like, I never really know how to jump into someone's QSO, nor do I want to interrupt. But, you know, starting to play more HF more and more. I got the 705 hooked up to the long wire, and I've been having a lot of fun with that. I was on 80 last night with it. I'm surprised. I don't think conditions are great, and I'm hanging out on 80 and 40 with 10 watts, and people are giving me really good signal report, so I still feel like I don't know how to read the ham clock, and there's probably a big portion of that, but I got a lot of weird noise and static, but I'm able to make contacts. Donald, did you want to get in there?
Yeah, I just want to pop in for 1 second. Dakota, if you get a chance, give me a call sometime today or before Friday. I got to talk to you about that microphone. Some things got mixed up along the way, and I still want to get it to you. So I want to set up some kind of meetup, something. I'll have a car this coming weekend. So call me when you get a chance. No rush, no big deal. Other than that, throat's still scratchy. Nose congestion still, so I'm still fighting that. Other than that, nothing new here. I'm just sitting here listening, watching the news. The weather, waiting for the weather to, if it ever is going to change. I actually turned on the heat this morning just to get the dampness out of my apartment. Let everybody go. Talk to everybody later. Everybody have a good day. Everybody on the road, be safe. W8RCY.
But wait, what's the first personal there?
Hey,
you don't do that anymore. But, I heard it last night, I think, on 575, believe it or not. And just like, oh. But, and there's a young man out here that does the radio check thing incessantly. And, you know, I'd love to tell him, but I don't want him to, you know, I really want to encourage him. I don't want to discourage him. Thank you. And I want to discourage him, and, you know, that comes off. You know, people don't like that. They don't like the criticism. And I just really nervous that I'm going to, you know, scare the youngster off.
Yeah, I'll come in real quick with a response. Yeah, I mean, we're all guilty of it. We've all done it and everything else. And you mentioned the .575 over on the other side. Yeah, there's a lot of new people that have been popping up on there lately. I'm also hearing something going on down towards the Masonic Temple. Somebody's putting something up on the Masonic Temple. I believe it's on the Ham side, and they're going to be out towards Ann Arbor. I could talk to you that either through messaging or a phone call down the road of what I'm hearing on there. But, yeah, I mean, we're all guilty of it. I've done it, and I joke about it, and, you know, it is what it is. But we all got to learn somewhere. We all got to start somewhere. Anyhow, I'll catch up with everybody later. W8RCY.
Rick, I think it was your turn.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same when I started out. I did, but if I, you guys, I'm not a youngster, but if I end up sticking my toes in my mouth, you can jump on me anytime you want. It's not any big deal. And you guys might find this interesting. I'm just wandering through videos on YouTube here, and SCOTUS rules that ordinary Americans do not owe income tax. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that's the case. I'm getting a way nicer pickup truck next time. Yeah, I'll file that one under, I'll believe that one when I see it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but it's from Dave Champion, PhD of some type. So this will be interesting. As soon as the government exists on our taxes, and they ain't going to let go of any of that. But I'll have to watch that later.
That ain't gonna be awesome. Yeah, that would be a beautiful thing. I know Trump was talking about at least the federal income tax, but I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah, I don't even entertain that stuff. That you know the rigmarole that we'd be, you know, if this was seriously being considered, there's nowhere. That's what I tell my wife. I'll come home sometime and she'll see some blip or something like that. That's impossible to, you know, it's like too good to be true or too crazy or something like that, or, you know, it's some bad information about, you know, the political party you don't like or something like that. And it's just, you know, it's just really juicy, you know, and all this stuff. And I just shake my head and go, it's a lie. And she goes, no, I saw it. I saw it on the news. And I said, no, you didn't see it on the news. You saw it on something that's trying to make you think it's the news. Because if that were the case, if this particular person died or that particular thing happened, we'd all know about it. We wouldn't be able to go anywhere. You wouldn't be able to turn the TV on without us hearing about that. You know, it's like one time she said, oh, did you hear, one of the royal family died or something like that, you know, the king, what's his name, he died. I know he didn't. You know, he said, oh, yes, he did. I saw it. I go, no, he didn't. I go, I listened to the radio, and I, you know, watched some, you know, TV here and there, and if that were the case, you couldn't escape it. It would be on every media outlet. So it's like, yeah, those, you know, that's the thing. And anything like that, hell, we'd be hearing about it, and it'd be nothing you'd have to uncover.
Yep, and it turns out YouTube's probably one of the worst. You know, everybody's throwing out all these outrageous titles to these videos, just clickbait kind of thing, you know, and Google's paying them. They don't care what kind of content, or if you're lying through your teeth kind of thing. The more hits you get, the more money you'll make. But it's kind of fun sometimes. I see the same. I keep up on the gun stuff, and you know, it keeps bouncing around like a tennis ball or a badminton kind of thing. From, you know, things are good, things are bad, things are good, you know. We're running out of ammo. The ammo prices are hitting rock bottom, and this and that and the other. You can't even find hours later or the next day. They're saying the complete opposite. KEAWOJ.
Honestly, I think the best thing I've done, I deleted all my social media because that was all biased propaganda on either side, right? Either left or right. There's no balance anymore. I think everyone knows I lean right, but still, that's besides the point. So I deleted all social media, got rid of that garbage toxicity. I think everyone can agree you don't watch Fox and you don't watch CNN because that's all biased. So now I kind of just, I don't stick my head in the sand. I don't think that's a good idea either, but I do my own research, I do my own reading, and I read from multiple different sources and come to my own conclusion to see what information matches up and which information seems like it's skewed. Because over the last, what, three presidencies, it's been social media warfare, basically, and I just can't deal with it anymore. So I hate all of them. That's where I stand.
Well, I'll jump in here. I'm with you, Dakota. I've stayed away from the social media except for there was a group or a place called 24-Hour Camp Player and Sniper's Hide and Michigan Sportsman, which were basically, you know, 50 to 100,000 outdoor guys who would get together to shoot the breeze about anything and everything kind of stuff. So I hung out on some of them places, but the rest of them I have avoided like the plague.
Sean must be getting inside.
Yeah,
I don't know. Even like the little groups I was part of, like some FPV groups, the drone stuff, and then you know, radio groups, RC stuff. Like everyone just wanted to fight and argue and talk politics and. It was just like, why, you know, we're all here for the same reason, which is we have an interest in this particular thing, and then everyone wants to be, you know, I can't say things on the air, but you know what I mean. It's like, why? So I just said, you know what, I don't need any of this crap anymore. And honestly, I think mentally I've been in a way better state because I'm not reading garbage all day. For the first, like, week or two after I deleted Facebook, I would find myself, like, muscle memory and habitually swiping over to the app and opening. I forgot what app I put in Facebook's place, and I'm like, this is pathetic. So I'm very glad that I did that. It was a nice cleanse.
Well, I hope Sean's all right there, but, you know, I kind of noticed the same thing with cell phones. Before I had one, I used to see almost everybody and their brothers with their faces in them cell phones and swiping and punching here and there and there. It seems like they hardly had a minute to look up from those doggone things, and I swore I wasn't going to do that. Guess what? I'm hooked on a darn thing myself.
I remember when my phone was like my everything in college. You know, I had a computer, but I don't know. You didn't do much on a computer at that point other than schoolwork, so my phone was my lifeline. Now I'm like, God, I hate this thing. Get away from me. I hope we go, like, full circle. I've been seeing a lot of these dumb phones, they call them. They're, like, simple phones that you can really only text and call on them. Unfortunately, I require a smartphone for my job, but I would love to see full circle, like, go back to a BlackBerry where all you can do is text, call, and email. I would love that. Everything being on my phone, I'm over that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm kind of hooked. I seem to desperately need 911 in my pocket somewhere. But other than that, I am definitely hooked on, you have a thought on, hey, I wonder how this or that works kind of thing. I don't have to wonder about it or talk to a bunch of people anymore. I can hop on there and jump on the old internet and start looking into it right away, and I think that's what hooked me.
There's something to be said about the convenience of a computer in your pocket. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I use it all day, every day. But there's just
a point where I want to not be on it or disconnect from it, or I want to just have a phone call or send text messages without 500 other things popping up on there. That's why I don't wear an Apple Watch anymore. I wore an Apple Watch the last 2 years. I mean, longer than that. I've had a smartwatch on for the last probably, God, when did smartwatches become a thing? Forever, right? I think my first smartwatch was an Apple Watch 2. So it was back in 2016 or 17. And never looked back, and then I finally got to the point where I'm like, I can't deal with this anymore. I can feel my brain, like, subconsciously registering the notifications on my wrist. It was driving me batty. So I wear a analog Bertucci field watch now, and that has helped too. No notifications on my wrist.
Well, I was hoping Sean had wandered back. I'm starting to worry now. He just kind of disappeared.
No, so we had some sort of a big protest at our place, and I turned down the radio and I rolled down the window to see what the hell was going on, and that's where I missed my rotation was in engaging them.
It wasn't another No Kings protest, was it?
No, this had to do with it was a union grief, some of the contractors that are working on the new facility that they're building or something like that.
Oh, aren't you lucky? Well, anyway, it's good to hear you back. I was starting to think, oh, no, some fool T-boned him or something.
Well, good. I'm glad it wasn't your guys protesting.
Yeah, I think Glazers or something like that, and they're not paying the prevailing wage, which we're a prevailing wage, employer or something like that. But it would be the contractors, not us, right? We're not paying them. You know, we hire a company. We this thing went out to bid, and then there's a company that does this, so they're not really protesting us. They're protesting the general contractor at the job site. So just are here on the property since I'm here where they're building that new facility. I gave him the fist bump and I said solidarity.
There you go. All right, I'm going to jump out. I'm pulling into my yard here. I'll be back in a little bit, but I'm assuming everyone will have their day underway at that point. So I will catch you guys later. NADBF.
Have a good one, Dakota. We'll catch you later. And I think I am going to get out of here, too, and get some breakfast. My stomach is starting to chew on my backbone. Good talking with you guys. Be careful out there. DEWOJ.
Yep, I'm in the office on the phone. Got off the radio a bit ago, so time to get to work. W8 a few.
Connected to CMN Network.
Morning, Lance. KCKGO. Either you're going into the hole or there's a problem with my... There's two on my antenna. But I barely got all that.
Yeah, I think I'm coming out of the hole. First week is 5 days a week.
Yeah, I hear ya. It's Wednesday, two more days to the weekend, and then the party starts all over again.
Yeah, I usually work from home Wednesdays and Fridays, so... I'm gonna go to the office now every day.
Couldn't handle working from home, and it would drive me nuts.
today it's my Wednesdays that turn into just meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, so not really much happening in the office anyway other than switching between call to call.
Yeah, I'm heading to the office right now. Get a couple parts, and then on our way to Belleville, and then back to Highland Park.
Yeah, I heard yesterday you were from Dealer to Richmond to home.
Started in Gaylord, left there about 2-ish. Got down to Richmond about 5:30, took care of that.
Yeah, there's some windshield time there.
Yeah, for now. I said the boss hired another tech for the west side, like northwest side, so he'll be starting to grab stuff up in that area. I mean, got years of experience from, you know, from other locations, but once he gets onboarded and sees how we operate and do things, and they'll kick him out of the nest.
Yeah, so you can get a little less northern travel.
Yeah, he lives up in Reed City, so he'll be able to handle photography, Sheboygan, Gaylord and all that, so that'll settle things down. I mean, we'll still handle stuff on the west side, you know, Grand Rapids, Battle Creek, Lansing, Fort Huron, Flint, but we don't have to travel up north as much unless it's a special reason.
Yeah, you might pick up some of the other stuff too, if he's on the west side. Just ease the load a little bit.
I mean, there will be occasions that we need to go up there because we're the only two trained on certain systems and certified. So until he gets, you know, fully trained and everything, we'll still handle, you know, like I said, those special reasons to go up there. I mean, we still got to go back to Petoskey when the weather's better because we got to replace a radio or replace the camera that's up there. But it was too much snow to get a lift out there. So it's been put off and they have no worries about it right now.
Yeah, that should be easing up pretty soon here. I know I was up at Michigan Tech, it was like April would hit, and your snow would be gone in a week.
And Gaylord still has a good amount of snow up there. You know, chilly still. But, I mean, the parking lots were clear, but you could see just piles of snow everywhere. I'm sure with Metro Airport City dumped on, they used to have skid loaders to move and semis to move all the snow because there was so much. And then they have a pile that's like 20 feet high, you know, in the dumping area, and that thing doesn't get totally melted until like May, early June.
Oh, yeah, especially, not in the sun or whatever, you know, it could be interesting. Yeah, I know where we were at, it would melt so fast you could hear like running water coming down the hills and stuff like that. It was just, you just start getting those warm days and all of a sudden, next thing you know, your snow's gone.
I saw that your property was a small lake. So was it called Lake Lance or Lake Evey until it started receding?
Yeah, I've got some, you know, natural low areas in the property. So whenever there's heavy rain, I'll get some water. I mean, there's Sometimes I've been pushing a bow wave, running the lawnmower, so. yeah, never seen it that high. But you know, that was in the morning, right after we got those really heavy rains, and then it kind of receded by the afternoon. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
Well, thank goodness we didn't have any chickens, because they'd be floating away.
Yeah, that was a previous homeowner that had that all set up, and there have been times I thought about having chickens, there's times that I'd rather not deal with it. Just get a can of gas and a match and see if they can take care of it. But I don't know. Anyway, I am about to go underground, so I will say 7-3 for now. Say Emila.
Alright, have a good one. Enjoy a quiet day. KCKJL 73 to you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
And ADBF.
You better watch walking around with that bulge.
You know, the good thing is I got plenty of other bulls that hides it.
Good morning, guys. KCKGO.
It does introduce an interesting question about, you know, what constitutes reasonable suspicion.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Dakota. Good morning, Sean. Dakota, are you just getting into the office, or are you already there? I know Sean's in the office. I saw his little red light on the fat phone today.
That's right, and I got to go out into the shop, so I'll be back. W8FU.
No, one of my yards was offline this morning because one of my switches got stuck on an update. So, of course, it was switch 3 in the stack out of 7. So the majority of my site was offline. Actually, my entire site was offline because that's where all the APs were plugged in. So I'm back to the office now.
Let me guess, sir, you found, what is it, Ubiquiti or something like that? Or do you run Cisco's?
Meraki firewalls unify switching and access points, which is weird. I've never, ever, ever, and I'm talking, I've managed probably close to thousands of Unify switches. I've never had one stick on an update like that. I don't know. I might yoink that thing out of there and replace it.
I don't have switches, but I have equipment that when they require updates, sometimes to get up to the latest version, I got to do 2 steps or 3 steps in between before I get there.
These are all hosted in a cloud controller, so they do it automatically in our, you know, allotted time slots that we dictate. So it tried to do it last night, and it got stuck at 11:59. So it's annoying. I had to come down here just to basically unplug the switch and plug it back in, which had I known, I could have had one of the guys on site do that. But I wanted to get eyes on it because the usual tricks I do remotely do not resolve the issue. Which is fine. I like going down there. That's my favorite yard.
Is that the one in Belleville or the one in Woodhaven?
No, it's my Sterling Heights one. It's right at basically 18 and Mound.
Oh, okay, yeah. The old Rizzo site? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Rizzo, and then we bought it from GFL, and now it's Priority. Even painted the building.
Nice and pretty yellow. We got a FedEx, I think, right off of the same road.
The building is deep, like royal blue and black. There's a Progressive right there on the corner.
trying to think what's across the street. I don't know. We're on the, what is this? We're on the east side of Mound.
Sim.
Now the question is, do I get a Starbucks drink? Kind of hooked. This chick walked in one day with a salted caramel nitro cold brew, and I'm like, that looks really good. I'm going to get one. And damn, was it good. Give me one sec. NADVF.
I just got a phone call. Chat soon. Please keep it soon.
Connected to CMN Network.
WAD. WABPD.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFAFGS monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Monitoring.
KE8VSI, KE8VSI. Greg, you copy? KZ8Z.
KE8VSI. Copy, copy, copy. I'm at M53 and 23 mile, 28 minute ETA.
Copy that. I am just leaving home now, so I'm probably, I don't know, 20 minutes maybe? So I'll see you there. Hopefully the roads don't swallow me.
Yeah, for sure. These days you don't know what you're going to get. I got a feeling it's not going to be great.
POTA, POTA, POTA. It's a Bald Mountain POTA day.
Connected to CMN Network.
Wee, hold up.
KZAZ monitor, mobile. Did you guys check the sunspot numbers and all that today?
I haven't looked at that, but we'll see when we get there.
We don't care about sunspot numbers. We fight right through those. The sun has no power. What, are they horrible or something? Was there a flare a couple days ago and we're just getting nailed today? We'll be quoting with each other. Oh, I don't know. That's always in the back of my mind. Just the weather forecast was great. So a few days ago, Greg and I were like, well, maybe we'll do a POTA on Wednesday. Just a brief little bit of sunshine and some warmth before I think a bunch of rain hits us again. Definitely a springtime in Michigan. Yeah, I'd come out and join you guys. We got a
I gotta be good though. I gotta finish my taxes. I gotta creeping up the deadline.
Ugh. Yeah, I went to our CPA yesterday and got those all wrapped up. So that's done for this year. Now I start the new folder for next year. Well, for this year. For next year. I was just that confused. Hey, by the way, Dave, in the AI world, have you tried the AI tool called Lovable? Like love, like I love you, Lovable. It's lovable.dev, D-E-V. It supposedly builds some websites. You know, not real robust, I don't think, but if you just want to do kind of a mock-up, it's pretty quick and painless for us digital marketing guys. Have you tried that?
I have not, but I've heard the name mentioned. It's one of those AI companies, you know, companies that start a business around AI. Another one I've heard is called Perplexity. I don't know how much that costs, but, you know, I stay away from those because they're like, I don't know what the true cost is going to be, right? Yeah, you start playing with it, and then it's like, it racks up really fast.
My transmission might get a little wonky here. I'm heading across Orion Road, kind of doing that northwest slant thing, and it goes up and down the hills. But I did want to tell you, I thought you'd have been proud of me over the past week because I was setting up a, I was using Claude to do a website, and I have a local instance now of, what do I have, Visual Studio Code or VS Code. I'm using NPM and Vite and React and GitHub locally and GitHub in the cloud and Netlify to host. And I just thought, oh, look at me. I'm pretending I'm a front-end developer now. Not.
Oh, I'm the same way. I mean, all that stuff you need to do, I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know what it's doing. I mean, I have a general idea. But, like, if you were to ask me to approach that, I would not know how to do that. Front-end stuff is foreign to me, but I'm really good with the back-end, so I know the back-end stuff, so I just need I need help with the front-end development. And Claude Code works really well for that.
Dave, you're about half the volume. KFA.S, you're about half the volume of KZAC, really quiet.
If I talk closer to the mic, is it better?
Yes.
I'm going to sign off, Dave. I'm probably not even making it in now. So really staticky. So I'll be monitoring, but I'm going to stop transmitting. It gets nasty. KZAC. I'll let you both go, and I will chat with you later. Okay, if you're done.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Dave, I expect you to have your first contact in the log by the time I get there. Hopefully your setup goes smooth. KEHDSI monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
November 9, Bravo Michael Victor, portable monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WAFU, KPR.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
WAVD. Hey, what's up? Very good. I've been playing around with my Altair boat. I hooked it up to an Altair antenna, so when I walk around, bike ride and stuff, I'll be able to connect. But it's just making sure everything was working. I hope it sounds okay. It kept saying back on the parrot, "You're exceptionally loud. You're exceptionally loud." So apparently it's a bugaboo in the radio.
Yeah, it sounds like you're clipping quite a bit there. When you're quiet, it's fine, but when you on the highs, it just starts to clip out the audio.
Am I still clipping?
Okay, but it sounds like you're talking through a pillow.
All right. I'm going to let you go. Back at the drawing board. WADD.
Maybe start to clip there. If you've got your emphasis on or whatever, I'm going to quite as well get that right. Found the simple tune thing that might help you out if you haven't played with that yet. Any BMI.
Kilo Echo 8 Lima Alpha X-ray Mobile.
Any BMI.
Station calling. I had the window down a little bit and didn't catch that. Go again. This is KE8LAX. Yeah, station calling, I still didn't catch that. You got a lot of noise. You're not making the repeater very well, but you are opening it.
I'm getting to the edge of the rope.
ABAY, just caught that, and I caught edge of the rope, but yeah, right there was good, but yeah, you're probably on the end of your rope. That sounds about right.
WBAKLL, KSA, DRC.
Connected to CMN Network.
WBAKLL, KSA, DRC.
Breaker, breaker, 1-9er.
KE8RUH. Good afternoon. It does seem like a good afternoon. The sun is shining. It's almost warm out. I might have to go home and do something outside.
Yep, I didn't even throw my coat on when I left. I just jumped in the car and took off. Ford Motor Company is telling me it's 55 degrees out, so woohoo, back to it anyways. 28 when I left for work.
they are telling me the same thing. 55. 55 and sunny, you can't argue with.
Yep. So, this is the... You're right, today would be a good day to go get something done outside or whatnot. I got tons of things I need to do outside. I'm not ready to do any of them, though. So, maybe I'll look outside and think, you know, I should be doing this. So, I promise to dedicate myself to thinking about the things that I should be doing outside at minimum.
You know, I think you should probably get home, get a chair, take it outside, and sit in the sun and think about all the things you should be doing outside.
That's not a bad idea, because it'll really emphasize that should be doing part, so I like it.
Yep, and I think it's supposed to get warmer tomorrow, maybe, if I remember correctly, and then we got a couple more warm days throughout next week, I think. I think I saw next Wednesday's high is 70, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, it's got to be getting there. You know, here we are. Burning through April, I would think that most of it's behind us. So I got the receiver up on the bench and took a bunch of pictures and everything. And I got I'm having a hard time. I've got all the boxes for the handhelds, but I don't know exactly how they all go back together. I'm going to have to look up some unboxing videos and make sure I know how they all go back together, figure out what I got. So worked on that a little bit. Mostly I just got the 8600 documented, ready to list. That's the biggie.
Yeah, that'll be nice to spin down the herd a little bit and get that much closer to making the decision on the next piece of equipment.
I'm quite anxious. I got someone in particular I'm waiting to hear from on that, but I don't want to push. I have no idea when I'm going to hear anything, if I'm going to hear anything, when. So it's got me champing the bit, so to speak.
Is that in reference to the new one you're saying? You're waiting to hear from somebody?
Yeah, I'm working an angle, and I'm got my fingers crossed that it's going to be a good way to go. But I got to kind of be patient, because it's someone else is kind of handling the handling it for me for reasons. So waiting to hear, kind of with, you know, my nose pressed against the window.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, selling all that gear will make your decision real easy when it comes time.
You know, the problem is with this stuff, there's all these rules that are carved in stone. They have to, you know, do this and do that and solve for this and solve for that and, you know, discount and everything is all like pre-calculated. And I think I might have found a loophole. So that's what we're working on now.
Well, I hope it works out, because it would be interesting to see a radio of that caliber in action. I know probably, would it be considered the equivalent to what Wally has?
Kind of. I think there are things it's going to do better, but it's not quite as compact. So, but they're equivalent as far as capabilities, you know. And they're, you know, they're one of three, I think, manufacturers that can do that right now. If you put, you know, the two of them together, which they're all under JVC now, but there's another one as well, Bendix King, that's making one, I believe. I'm not sure if it's multi-protocol, but so it's one of two or three companies doing that.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know, well, especially know now that there's only three doing it, but I knew before it was a very rare thing to see, having, you know, two different types of digital and UHF, VHF in there. It'll be pretty neat to see it once, hopefully, it comes to fruition for you.
Yeah, you know, the one that may start to tickle the amateur market a little bit, in a reasonable, relatively speaking, is the NX series Kenwood. Now, those weren't multi-band. You could buy it in a multi-deck configuration, much like the Viking product. And if you did the multi-deck thing, you then could get, you know, VU8. You know, we're mostly interested in VU, right? And so you could get a VU. And if you focus on the NX series, those I think are starting to pop up for more I could do that money. And not like affordable or not cheap by any stretch, but they're getting to the point where it's like, I could swing that.
Well, that's good. That means that we're 5 years or a little bit more than that away from, oh, I can swing that. Get enough of them in the marketplace and people showing interest, and there'll be more of them, I'm sure.
I just really wish there was more VHF and UHF commercial use out there. Seems to be fire service is VHF. There's some other police agencies and whatnot that are still using UHF, but the ones that are generally up T-band, up high, so that's why you see a lot of the 470 to, or 450 to 512 stuff, because, you know, they need to capture that T-band stuff up high, and you less frequently see the 380 to, you know, 470, the stuff that taps out at 470, which is stuff we want. So if there's a multi-range, you know, like a range 1, range 2, more often than not, it's the wrong one. And I always wondered, because around here, you know, we don't have anything above 470, and but we have a lot of stuff down in the 420s, or did. So it just surprises me that the lower split isn't more popular. But I guess that's not the case elsewhere. I know they were running that T-band in New York for sure, and maybe L.A., not 100% sure on that, though.
Yeah, I know the few times that I see UHF stuff coming in, typically it's R2, which, as you said, it doesn't have a whole lot of use for us. We need that R1 stuff.
Now, a lot of them will do it just fine, particularly if you don't need to go below 440, you know, which normally you don't, you know. We dabble, you know, in recent years we've been dabbling with some low-power stuff down in the 430s, but for the most part, you know, people, you need 440 to 450, right? That's what you need. And most of that stuff can be tricked or made to work down there, but some just hard-coded won't. Some you can do like a software hack to let it do it. There's one radio, in fact, the Radius, the one that I made that first incarnation of Dakota's repeater. That one there,
you couldn't do it. If you typed in like 442, it would error out. It wouldn't let you do it. But if you held the I think it was either the shift key or the control key. I don't remember which one it was. It was the shift key. And then you would enter in, 442.600, and it would be exclamation point, pound, star, And then when you released, then when you finished, boom, the actual 442 would show up there.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll see. I have a couple of R2 radios right now that at some point I'm going to play with and see if I can get them to push down. But I gotta take a quick phone call here, and then I'll be at the house. So I'm going to clear out. This is KE8RUH, and I will talk to you in the morning, Sean. Have a good evening.
All right. Catch you later. W8FU.
ACHKGO. Hey, do you know if the astronauts are on their way home yet or not?
Yeah, I think technically the other day when they circled around the backside of the moon, they were officially when they got to the halfway point on the backside, I think they were officially on their way home.
Sweetness. Oh, and I get the keys tonight.
I heard. I don't know where I was listening, but I thought I heard or saw. Maybe I saw it in the Discord, but. So there you go. Is it close? I thought it was out your way somewhere.
Yeah, it's over in Ira Township off of 26 in Meldrum, so it's a couple miles from Wally's shop.
All right, cool. Just turn that key off. So just in case.
100%. Turning the key off, taking it out, and putting it on the key ring so it can't be used until I figure out, see if it could be programmed to go amber.
I heard you talking about that the other day. A few greens mixed in there might be okay. So that way, if you ever got out to a scene and somebody said, we want to set up a command, you could say, well, I've got greens, and then that's the official. The only problem with that is if there's the actual fire personnel, they see green, and they that's the sign for incident command.
Yeah, that's why I was going to go with either all amber or amber white mix.
Oh, man, get amber, white, and green, and then arrange them set up. Looks like the Irish flag.
Well, sir, look at the Irish there.
And then I'm guessing two of them in the front are takedowns, and then two on the side are alleys, so you just leave those clear.
Yeah, that's what I was planning on, and keeping the alley lights and the takedown lights and stuff like that. Just want to get rid of the reds and the blues and change them to ambers and whites. And I got to see how the programming is done and see how it is, see if I can get the software for it if I need to. And get into the controller and see if it is a tricolor bar, if it's just strictly red and blues. If it's strictly red and blues, then they're coming off, and I'll put something else up there.
Give Paul a call. Tell him the make and model, and that, and he may be able to tell you right off all that stuff.
Yeah, I could do that. I could DM on Discord or Facebook Messenger or something.
Been a few years, but he maintains contact with his old place. They did a lot of that stuff, and he has people, that he knows that he can get inside information from. We got several people in the business that'll work with you you know, that they're not just looking to sell you stuff. So, like you said, when you're, once you know what you got, we can figure it out. And, but it doesn't sound familiar. I don't think we ever ran that on any of our gears. So, not to say one of the agencies didn't. You know, if any one of them did, we might be able to go figure out who does that stuff. But a lot of them are getting them upfitted by a third-party outside vendor. You know, and they're not willing to really cough up the controls and the cables and the softwares and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I priced it out. I looked up the pricing on it, and depending on the model, just the kit alone is worth half the value of the car.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't got to do that. So it's a one-of personal thing. Somebody's got this stuff. I'm sure they can hook a fella up.
That would be great. Like I said, if anything, I mean, if I got to take them off, I'll take them off. All I need is a cap to put on there, one of those waterproof caps. I mean, it's got the NMOs already on the roof, and I'm not sure if they ran 700, 800, or 900 on there, or if they were even lower UHF. But I know the NMOs and the, I mean, that's in the material that's just an antenna mount. It's the antenna that gets attached.
NADVF.
WACPT, how you doing, Dakota?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm doing good, heading home. I think I heard Tom in there and you. I don't know if there's anyone else, but go ahead, Don.
Hey, good afternoon from WACPT. You said Tom is there. Go ahead, Tom.
Birmingham. Waiting for me, and then I'm going home, and I gotta drop off a check and pick up keys to a vehicle.
A little bit of a double there.
All right, I'll call it. Throw it over to Sean, and then over to Captain Don, and then back to Dakota. How's that? We'll do it that way.
All righty. Well, I'm just making the final approach, so this will be my hello and my goodbye. Pass it over to Captain Don, W8FU. All right, Sean, good to hear from you. You run every time I get on the radio. Just kidding. I make it to Dakota now. Go ahead, Dakota.
I didn't even know Sean was in here. Sean, hi, bye. Maybe I'll catch you later this afternoon. So it's just us three now. Okay. All right, Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, Sean and I were discussing, I got to see what type of brand of kit is on the roof of this vehicle that I purchased, see if I can modify it strictly by programming for amber and white.
Okay, so it's kind of like an emergency flasher or something. Cool. Can't you just change the lens and the light bulb? Go ahead, Dakota.
I don't know too much about those, but I could ask my installer, because we do have them on our trucks. Well, some of our trucks. I thought you were talking about an antenna.
Oh, I got to get some bullet antennas for it, too, for VHF, UHF, so I can do DMR and my dual bander in there. No, I picked up a 2016 Ford Explorer Interceptor, fully loaded.
Oh, right. Does it have, like, those roof marking lights on it, or, I'm confused about the amber and white, so when it gets back around to you, go ahead. Go ahead, Dakota, WACPT.
I'm confused, too. Go ahead, Tom.
No, it's got a roof mount, grill mount, mirror mount, and they're all pretty Christmas tree colors that I need to convert.
All right. Well, you don't like the Christmas tree colors? That's kind of like out of the water with the boat. I had a green underwater light, and nobody had a problem with that, which I don't understand why, because it could be considered a marking for the, you know, red and green buoys. But the one charter captain that had the blue underwater light, the cops gave him a hard time saying he can't use blue because police use blue and red. I'm like, okay, and red is also for a buoy, so I don't know. Anyway, go ahead, Dakota.
Well, from my understanding of those marker lights, if you've got like those crazy bright, vivid green ones, they're not RGB, so I don't think you can change the color.
Yeah, that's what I got to figure out. Like I said, if I have to take them off, I take them off. It's not going to kill me. But the roof mount, I guess I got to see what the model number it is and see if it is able to be converted from RB over to yellow W, you know, white W, what is it? Yellow and white. And then I'll be okay there, you know, I'll be safe there, even in occasional green. But in regards to the red and blues, yeah, those got to go fast.
Yeah, I guess I'm still confused. Was this like a rave vehicle or something before you bought it? go ahead, Dakota.
That's kind of where I'm at. Is this a Canadian National, or what is it? Security?
No, it's an old police response unit out of Ohio, and it's got the full strobe package on it, and takedown lights, alley lights, front and rear strobes, mirror strobes, and grill strobes. So they're all red and blue.
Now it makes sense. All right, I was kind of thinking that for a minute there, but I wasn't sure. Okay, cool. Yeah, I guess if you got to take them off, you got to take them off. But, like, yeah, if you make them yellow and, or amber and white, then it's caution, right, is what that would mean if you turned them on.
Okay, I feel like an idiot. No, now I get it. Don't know where I got green from. You said Christmas tree colors, and I assume you meant green.
So I'll be 72 in your finals. And I'll send a picture on Discord to you, Captain. I'll send it on Messenger. JCKDO.
All right, I don't know if you doubled with Dakota a little bit there, but I think you've got to go, Tom, so we will catch you later on. And Dakota, I think he's gone, man. This printer is the bomb.
Later, Tom. And I told you, it's like literally a regular printer. You just load it and send it, put the filament in, and it does the rest for you. The only complaint I have, and it's not even a legitimate one, I wish it had an hour meter. Like, I truly want to know how many hours that thing has ran. And knock on wood, I've done absolutely zero maintenance to it. I clean it, right? I dust it, I wipe it down, but I've not changed any belts, any motors, any pulleys, any guide rods. Out the gate, I put the steel gears and the hardened nozzle in it, but other than that, I've done nothing to it, and it just works. I did change one build mat because I scratched it trying to get a print off, which... no fault for the printer.
Right, yeah, I gotta look into the better nozzles and stainless steel gears and whatnot, but like I've been using it like crazy, man. I printed a battleship game on both sides, you know, so two people could play all the little ships, all the little pegs, the case that holds it. I then printed a bunch of fishing lures that I'm going to end up, I already know they work because I printed it with the other Ender 3 drill. So, yeah, I'm going to buy, my next play next month is going to be an airbrush tool so I can start airbrushing the lures and probably sell them. I don't know, like right now I'm printing a garden fairy for my mom. I mean, I just been going nuts. And those modifiers, man, holy smokes, it's like... I think you hear the
the pellet hit the target and nothing else. It's wild.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of mine. Very, very happy with it. I've not had any reason to upgrade. I don't have AMS. I wouldn't mind getting it at some point, but the frequency in which I'm like, I wish I had multicolor printing. It's very rare. The main reason would be I have to go downstairs to switch filaments. I would really like to have, like, most of what I print is black, so I would like to have a black TPU, a black PETG, a black ASA, and a black PLA, so I could just pick, you know, grab this filament for this, depending on what I'm making, right? If it's a decorative print, obviously PLA. If it's a functional print, ASA or PETG. And then if it's, you know, kid's toy or a bushing or something like that, TPU. I love it. It's been great. It's been flawless. I used the crap out of that thing. And, yeah, mine's made me a couple thousand dollars. I don't do it anymore, but I was printing a bunch of radio stuff, and it definitely paid for itself more than once.
Yeah, and that plan for the AMS is a good plan. I've literally got four colors in mine, and I guess you could throw a fifth on the stack. Any of the prints that are color, it switches so often if those colors aren't actually in layers. You know, like, okay, it's all black, now we're going to do all blue, now we're going to do all red. That's okay. But you start saying, okay, in this line I got to do white, and then I got to stop and do some blue, and then, oop, I got to stop and do white again, and then, oop, I got to go back to blue, and oops, I got to go back to red. It ends up, like, making the print take hours upon hours upon hours.
That was really the main reason I didn't get it. A guy I used to work with he's got the X1 Carbon, and he bought it with AMS. And I watched, he had it in the office, and I watched him print stuff. I'm like, dude, this thing wastes so much filament and so much time to print that. I mean, it looks great, but if I'm not making any money off of it, I don't need to print multicolor stuff. I mean, it's cool. Like, I would definitely do it, but you're right. Like, depending on how the print's set up, you can burn through so much filament.
Connected to CMN Network.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it's great. I got four colors, and I just use the AMS, nothing else, not the back one. And then I just pick the color I want to use. So that's handy. So, and I thought it was your LAN, your local internet. It's literally in a cloud, man. I could be at my house and have the printer at my parents and, like, tell it to print something. The only thing is that I can't get it out when it's done. You know what I mean?
That is my biggest complaint. If it's a cloud-based service, I want it local. I don't want it going to a Chinese server that's attached to my network. But so far, it's been okay. And the other cool thing with the AMS is the new version is a filament dryer as well. So I have an external Creality one that works phenomenally well. I have no complaints. It's like $60. And that thing works great. But the, you know, if you want to switch filament, then you got to dry it. I mean, my basement's pretty decent. But, you know, if you want a super clean print, you got to be below 20% filament humidity, yada, yada, yada. You got to run it for a little bit. I usually just run it while it's printing, keep drying it. But the AMS does that for you to where if you start to accumulate humidity, you can just turn it on, and then all of your filament's good to go.
Right, yeah, and I got a two-place, I don't know if it's a Creality or not, but I got another dryer, too, at my house, so I got four in the dryer on the AMS and two on standby. So, yeah, that's cool. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I knew I was gonna like it, and I knew I heard you talking about it before, and I already had my sights set on it, but I wasn't ready to buy one then. And now I was like, okay, I'm doing it. I just can't stop printing stuff, man. It's crazy.
I'm glad. I think right now from Bamboo, all of them, that's the best bang for the buck. It's just such a good printer for the money. I talked KTMR into getting one. I think he's got two now. I don't know if he's listening. He can chime in. But he was running on an Ender as well.
he was getting good results just like you, but, you know, there's a lot more involved in getting a good print out of an ender than a set in bamboo. But he's been making all kinds of stuff with his too. But everyone I know that has them loves them. I don't know if you watch YouTube a whole lot, but Ham Radio Tube, he had the guy with the Poda Yoda on there, which is a sick video. You should watch that. I actually have talked to that guy a lot. I told him a couple radios or a radio. We talked 3D printing for like a year straight. And did some 40 meter or 20 meter contact. He's out in Texas. So it's a cool dude, but he was the one that turned me on to these. He started with a P1P, and I'm like, damn, that thing does a phenomenal job. I got to jump ship here and get a P1S, and I haven't looked back.
Is that Mike K8MRD? I think it might be. Maybe not, though. It might be one of the other guys. But, yeah, I definitely am subscribed to their channel. I didn't realize. Not whoever it is, even if it's him for sure, I didn't realize he did 3D printing, but I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, K8MRD is Ham Radio Tube, and then Jason is Ham Radio 2.0, and then I forgot what the other bro from Cali is, he's Ham Radio Crash Course. Those are the main ones I watch. But Mike had, his name's Dave, I'm pretty sure it's Dave. His call sign No Love, N-0-L-U-V, and I talked 3D printing with him forever. He's actually the one that pushed me into getting those P1S. But he's on K8MRD's YouTube channel for an interview with the Poda Yoda, which is just a sick truck, just dedicated to radio, so you should check that out. But yeah, that's, you know, a long way to say that's the guy who got me to switch to bamboo.
Ah, okay, cool. I'll have to check it out later. All right, I was trying to get to a hardware store, and I made it without too much traffic, so I'm here in the parking lot, and I'm going to go inside, so I'll probably jump back on when I get out of here, if you're still here. If not, have a safe rest of your drive, and I will catch you later on. W-H-C-P-T.
All right, Andy, I'll be here for a bit.
Question.
N-A-D-D-F.
All right, there was a double there. I'll be all up. I think it was. Go ahead real quick. I'll listen out before I go in.
Now, you guys doubled there. I was just wondering which model number bamboo printers you guys are using.
I thought
Dakota was going to grab that. Well, I hope we're not doubling. I think it's the PS1. If you listen to Dakota, take over, because I think that's it, but I'm not 100% because I'm pretty new to it. I just been printing with it.
We did the same thing. We doubled, but I heard you. Yeah, it's the P1S, Bamboo P1S. It's the P1P with an enclosure.
Be that. Appreciate it, yeah. I'm looking at one right now. Okay. I kind of figured that was the one you guys were talking about because I don't know too many people that are using the non-enclosed anymore. So, but yeah, looks good. And now that you guys are talking about it and saying how good it is, I think I might have to pull the trigger on this. But thanks for the info there. KF8BLX, and I'll say 73, and great rest of your day.
And I don't know where you're looking, but shop around. KTMR got a smoking deal on one from Micro Center, so check there. At 8 DBF.
W8SU from W8EAP.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a dumb question. In the radio reference page, it still shows a couple VHF stations that are patched into the MPSCS. Is that, you know if those are still active or not? Or should I just, you don't know, and I should just listen to them?
to like 154, 130 or something like that. I'm not sure we're doing any of that anymore. It's been a long time. I think that's inaccurate.
Well, according to the radio reference, it says the call sign, it says active, effective 11/20/2025 to 2035. So it's still active, but I would imagine they canned that a long time ago. That's just like the countywide fire patch.
Well, like you said, you could give it a listen and find out, and then we'll both know.
Yeah, there's some interesting ones in here. One is on UHF. It's court, county court jury paging at 4:53. And the DPW and Meals on Wheels, something to do with the weather sirens, miscellaneous VHF stuff. So anyhow, just throw that past you and see if you knew anything about it, but I'll give it a listen.
Yeah, that's all I can say. So a lot of that stuff is long gone, but I don't know. Give a listen.
What are you out doing this nice sunny day?
In the middle of composing a classified for my ICR 8600.
Roger. All right. I'm just getting ready to, pretty soon, get ready to go to physical therapy. I'm back to physical therapy again. I'm good enough for next step in physical therapy, so just started Monday, 3 days a week. See how that goes.
All right, well, sounds good. That's progress, at least. So you'll be able to get out and about. All right, let me get back to this. I'm kind of juggling some things here, trying to compose this classified here, trying to dump a bunch of stuff here. WFU.
One quick thing, is that radio you mentioned, is that a communications receiver, otherwise known as the ICOM R8500?
It is, but it's the ICOM R8600. It's the newest one they sell, still current production.
Oh, yeah, that would be a little more than a few hundred bucks. I was going to ask you the price, but, yeah, that's going to be, yeah, you could text me the price just to make me laugh, but, yeah, go for it. I'm sure it'll be a lot. Wow, that looks really nice, though. WATPD. Go ahead, Captain Don, W8EAP.
Yeah, I always wondered why it's double U and not double V. Anyway, that's funny that you took that little clip out of that. That guy actually emailed me, and if I recall correctly in the email, I was his first satellite contact, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I kind of weeded out the rest. That one was like the best one. It was like, he was like coming in like he was sitting next to you, so that's why I just kind of trimmed it down to that one. I could have trimmed it down a few seconds more, but that's good enough. Could have trimmed a few seconds off each end of it, but enough. 1080p too, buddy.
Yep, yep. I had sent him the link to my live, but after I seen that, I literally downloaded that and emailed that to him, too, because that was, like, just you know, he's still with me, so perfect. I mean, you did that and didn't even know I needed it. That was awesome.
KDKJO.
Very good, very good. Well, I'm glad to help. I think that was KCAKJO. Go ahead, Tom.
Good afternoon, fellas. Yeah, I was just listening to the broadcaster on WA8MAC with the astronaut. But Captain Don, W is the English version. You want to do French, it's W, which means double B.
Aha, so there is a interpretation that is double V since they look like two Vs. That's cool. I was just being funny. I didn't know there was actually going to be an explanation.
Yeah, and in German, it's not Volkswagen, it's Volkswagen.
Well, look at that. That's funny. So did you end up doing any satellite work yet?
Not yet. Eventually I will, once things settle down. Eventually.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, once it gets a little bit warmer out, be at my house, so I'll have to get together and rip up the satellites.
Yeah, I'm still interested in just, you know, my mom-in-law passed away in January. We're dealing with the house stuff on that. You know, trying to get my brother-in-law a new place to live. Just been a whirlwind of stuff, and I've been working, you know, 10 hours a day here and there, traveling all over the state, and I hate the cold.
Ah, sorry to hear about that. I don't think I heard about that, but I was kind of sheltered for a while there, so. yeah, that's got to be tough, dealing with all that stuff, so eventually it'll settle down, I'm sure, but crazy stuff. Yeah, I just went to the hardware store, and I got Starlink on my house now, and it took me a bit. I had to get an aftermarket router and make everything work, my cameras, my bunch of stuff. But I got it all working, and they give you a free mini, too, even though I already had one. So I went to the hardware store to get M6 stainless steel bolts that were 2 inches long. I think I had to get 4 lock washers and some rubber grommets because I'm going to mount it on the back of my hard tonneau cover. And it ended up being almost $60. I couldn't believe it. I know they're stainless steel, but steel, man, wow. WHCPT.
I had another radio going there for a second.
Jeez, you got lots of radios. So did you get any of that?
No, I had to turn it down for a second for my coworker to yell at me on the other radio. But, no, go ahead and repeat yourself. Hello, Eric. I know I didn't say hi to you yet. KCAKJO.
Yeah, I didn't mean to leave Eric out either. I figured he'd jump in. I've been trying to leave a little gap there. I don't know if he was in the chatting mood or not. Long story short, I got Starlink. I had to play around in my house because the fiber optic is not happening anytime soon. And I'm glad I did. It works great. They were running a deal where everything was free as long as you got the max plan, which was like $120 a month. And they gave you a mini, too. So now I got a new mini, and I'm mounting that on my tonneau cover so I can just leave it in my truck and take it off with wing nuts. And I got 2-inch M6 bolts, 4 of them, and then like lock washers and rubber grommets to put on the M6 bolts. And I know this stainless steel, man, but walking out of the hardware store with 4 bolts It might have been 8 bolts. I might have got 2 different sizes. But anyway, spending $60 on all that is just, like, crazy, man. That is crazy. Ooh, but just getting me out. Now you got your Starlink all set up. I got my mesh upstairs now, so it's still under client mode, so you can try bouncing something off of it. Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for Riley to put one at his in-law's house because it's somewhere between you and me, and I'm thinking that might get enough to bounce us. As of right now, my house to your house isn't cutting it, but we need something in between, maybe 2 in between, I don't know. But yeah, if he does that, it might we might see each other. But yeah, mine's been up on that pole in the front yard. Probably for like 2-3 months now with that solar charger, and it's been staying at 90% or better. So mine's definitely up there and definitely doing its thing. I just got to get enough people in between. Eric, you still out there? I guess he isn't out there. Yeah, he comes and goes. But anyway, yeah, I thought I had all the stuff to run the Starlink off of my 12-volt battery with me, but I don't think I do. But I'm still going to get the mount going up on there, so that way I can throw it on there when I want to and want to get everything. I know there's a cigarette lighter adapter of some sort. I guess I could run it into the truck and plug it in a pinch, but I what I want to do is use a light bulb battery in the back in the bed and just run it off of that, and probably eventually put a little solar panel to try to keep that charged, but I don't know how well that's going to work. We'll see.
Hey, it's a project in the works. That's how it should go.
Yep, projects are fun. I mean, yeah, I don't have to go to work anymore, so I got to keep busy doing something.
Yeah, that's why I hated being off on medical. I was off for a month, 2 years in a row, and it drove me nuts just sitting there doing nothing except sitting on the couch and staring at the boob tube. And then I got involved with you with DMR and all the other guys on FBI Central Michigan, and now I need more time to mess around with all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That same thing happened with me, you know, when all this medical stuff started. I got into the... I actually started out with trying to be a drone pilot, and I figured I could make money doing that. And they mentioned a Yaesu, I can't even remember which radio it was now, 70-something. And so I got one so you could listen to, like, the airports and stuff. And for the drone, and then I heard all these guys talking on here, and I knew I couldn't do it because I didn't have a ham license, and I was like, well, darn it, how do I get my ham license? And then it just exploded from there. W-8-C-P-T.
Sorry, I was trying to swallow a couple of Tylenol. One got stuck in my throat. Almost coughed up both of them. Yeah, I've had my license since, like, 98. Because my friend down in down south got his, and so I got mine so I can talk with him on the way up to repeaters and stuff. And then I've had radios, and I was mostly VHF, and then a couple people said, hey, you got to get in UHF, and then I finally broke down and bought my first dual bander. Actually, I had a couple cheap ones, but they died out. And next thing you know is I got my Alinko, and it just snowballed from there.
Yeah, but surprised you didn't get into HF so you could talk to him from when you're at your house, that when he's at his house. That would have been cool, too.
Well, sticking with my tech level, it keeps me grounded on buying stuff. I just bought an SUV, you know, so got that. I'm going to put ham radio equipment in that. That's the whole purpose. That's one of the purposes of buying it. That way I've got to put it in my wife's car and put holes in her brand new car. I got this. It's already got the metal box and the metal frame for the radios used to be. So all I got to do is put some self-tappers in there and mount everything.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, good deal. Man, somebody, I'm down the street in this garbage day. 65-inch TV. Then the next house has an 85-inch TV. Empty boxes at the curb. Man, some people are really wanting the TV good these days.
I bought my 65-incher about a year and a half ago or something like that. Yeah, not this Christmas. I bought it last year in January during the Black Friday sale or something like that. I got a 2025 model LG 65-inch smart TV.
Yeah, I think mine's either a 50 or a 55 Samsung. That's big enough for me. I mean, I guess the bigger you go, the better, I guess it is. But I don't think, if I want much bigger than what I got, I think it'd be sticking in the walkway coming out of my breezeway there, so where I got my TV. But no, they're cool. It's amazing how TVs have advanced since here. It's crazy. Hey, off subject, by any chance, do you know what drill bit, maybe it's an M6, but for an M6 screw, what drill bit is the right one to use?
Is it a number 6 screw or number 8 screw? If it's a number 6, you want a 31 bit.
Yeah, it's a bolt, actually. I said screw because I was talking fast as I was backing in the driveway. But the M6 bolt, yeah, I want to just barely clear it.
And I would use a 31 bit. And I think you'd use at least a starter form. And then after that, maybe a 30 or a 29. But a 31, I'm thinking of number 6 screws. So a number 6 bolt might be the same. If it's a little bit bigger, then you're going to need probably a quarter inch bit.
All right, cool. Yeah, I was thinking quarter inch, but I know metrics, I don't deal with it too much, but I had metric screws, so. Anyway, cool. All right, well, I made it back to the parents' location. I get to go take out my dad's drill and bits and everything and finish up the project and then move on to the next, I guess. But it's good talking to you, and we'll have to catch up one of these days. I might not be around your area probably for possibly another month, depending on how that situation goes, but we'll definitely have to get together and do some satellite stuff. And I will be clear on your final W.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, you know where I live. You know how to get a hold of me. Just text me and see, maybe I'll play hooky or something. We'll see how it goes. 73.
Hey, Tom.
Yes?
Confusion Radio with you?
New Haven? Give me a couple of hits of phone call and I'll be on Fusion. KKKJO.
NADVF.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Good afternoon, Dakota. 88WOK.
Afternoon, Rick. How we doing?
Fair to mostly cloudy. How about yourself? I got that scope today. I'm impressed.
Did you get her mounted up?
No, I got to figure out what I'm going to replace with it kind of thing. But I was kind of impressed because the other two I just got a few years ago. And this new one I got,
and at a cheaper price, has HD glass, so I'm kind of impressed.
Oh, good. So they phased out the other glass, I'm assuming, and then this is what they're running, or is this just a different line?
Yeah, I guess they just put better glass in it, so I am getting a little, ain't sure what I want to put it on yet, but I want to get it on there and mount it and test it there. It's still too cold for this old man to hit the range.
No, I can relate to that. It looks deceiving outside. It's nice and sunny, but it's definitely not go hang out outside for a couple hours warm.
Yeah, I got to go out and feed the cat in a little while, and although I won't be in the wind, but it's still awful chilly. I always make sure I take some hand warmers with me.
That's a good idea. I don't like shooting with gloves on, so that's usually the first thing to start getting cold on me.
Yeah, I can't shoot with gloves either. Never could.
Yeah, something about that contact with the trigger, it's a mental thing for sure, but that's just, I know my finger's in the right spot. I can't do that with a glove on. Even shooting gloves, I tried them all. I got sick of $100 leather gutter gloves, and I still can't shoot with them on, even with a shotgun.
Yeah, and that makes it difficult in late November sitting out in a blind in the woods somewhere. Sometimes I used to take a mitten with the right hand and leave my hand in the mitten, and you know, as soon as I saw some movement there, the mitten had come flying off.
I usually bring a muff, or a lot of my jackets have like a breast pocket on each side that I can stuff my hands in. But yeah, same thing. Keep my hands away when I can, and then when I got to shoot, I pull them out.
I saw a little gizmo one time. It was a bucket, you know, like the buckets they had with the spinning cushion top on it kind of thing. Only it had the a hole, good-sized hole cut in one portion of it there. And when you sit on it, you put that hole kind of like to your crotch there. And then you keep your little heater inside the bucket. And the heat would come flying out that hole and keep your hands warm all day.
I feel like if you're going to go that far, you might as well just bring a little Mr. Buddy heater.
Yeah, exactly. And then I thought, well, you know, if you're gonna burn something, that's going to put out a smell, and that seems to kind of defeat the purpose. It'd be different if we were ice fishing, but it's a different story.
I've been spoiled the last two seasons. I've hunted in a box blind with a heater. Forgot what the elements are like.
Oh, that would be nice. When I was young and healthy there, we used to do a lot of ice fishing and on some lakes that had no houses on them. And we used to go out and set tip-ups all over the place and go up on shore and build a nice big fire with, you know, coffee, hot chocolate, sandwiches, soup, all that good stuff. So it was a lot of fun, but I don't think I could do that anymore.
I've never been ice fishing, but I don't think I would do it at this point without either an ice house or doing what you were saying. You know, you got a nice little shanty right on the shore with a fire and food and all that, and then you just run out to your tip-ups when you need to.
Yeah, we were out there one time. We actually did have a shanty, and but boy, it was so cold and the wind was blowing so hard that the guy was with almost lost his ears. I mean, it was terrible. They got like bright red, swelled right up kind of thing. When we got back to my truck, I started it up, and it was 20 minutes before the oil got to the lifters and 45 minutes before it started blowing warm air.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You're not going to find me outside in that weather.
Yeah, we weren't expecting. We were all geeked up, you know. Oh, I got to go catch some fish and all that. We weren't expecting it to get that cold, but good thing he didn't. You know, I thought for sure he was going to lose his ears or something, but he had a lot of pain in them for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days at least, I think.
Oh, I'm sure. I've been out a couple times where I've come in where I didn't have the proper stuff on, and my hands, my feet, my ears, you know, as soon as you get into the warmth, they just start hurting immediately because they start to fall out.
Yep, heck, I'm getting cold talking about it.
I know I had a bracket fixed for my transfer pump today. I bought a wheel kit for it, and of course, you know, Harbor Freight quality, the one bracket for the wheel broke the first time I used it, so we have a welder in the basement at the office, and I had my buddy at work weld it for me, and I was like, you know, go home, put this on. No, it's not that warm out. I think I'm going to wait until I need it next.
Yeah, right, the doggone leak down the street's been, ice has been gone for a while now, weeks. And I still ain't got my butt down there. It's just, I don't like the cold anymore.
Yep, that's kind of what I'm waiting for, is just this weather to finally break and stay broken. We keep getting these teasers, and all that does is make my sinuses go crazy. I'm actually watching a POTA video right now. You do HF, right? You said you got a 991.
Yeah, I got a 991A, but it's off in the corner collecting dust. I refuse to run it anymore. After two trips in a year to the repair center at $250 a pop, you know, for shipping and insurance, I gave up on the thing, so it's just sitting there collecting dust.
Yeah, I can relate to that, not that much, but just sending my old FTM 500 in and out, new board, oh yeah, it's normal, and they just don't care. I don't think I'll buy another Yaesu, at least I hope not. They haven't done anything that's super impressed me. I'm looking at my 705 right now, going, you are all I need. I'll buy an amp before I buy another HF rig. So do you do any HF, or is that your only rig, or you don't have any antennas, or what's the situation?
Yeah, no, I don't, no antennas and really no rigs. I think I've got two mobiles. I got one that does quad. It'll do 10 meter and 6 meter. And then I've got, this Anytone 578 will do 220. But, and you know, that stuff's not real HF. But and the 220, it only puts out 5 watts anyway.
All right, copy that. I was going to have you peek at a frequency of month 7242, and there's just a solid beam of RF. I don't know what the heck it is. I don't know if it's atmospheric or something at my house. It doesn't really make any noise, but it's just on my scope, and I was trying to figure out what it was.
Well, that's kind of a brain teaser there, no noise. I remember cruising the waterfall on the 991A, and I'd run into the same thing every once in a while. I'd see a good strong signal there and tune into it, and there just didn't seem to be nothing there.
Yeah, it is puzzling. I was doing some 40 and 80 meter work last night and making some contacts, and just all throughout the band there's these crazy, I don't know what, I guess you'd call them birdies, but they're rock solid. I have my scope set to blue, yellow, red, and red being the strongest signal, and they're just solid red.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I do kind of miss running up and down the waterfall there looking for signals.
Yeah, I put my my long wire up on Sunday morning for that exact reason, like even just to tool around. And I was kind of discouraged, not discouraged, but not super motivated because I'm only running 10 watts. But I finally said, screw it. If I can hear them good, they should be able to hear me good. And so far, so good. I've not been able to, or I've been able to make contact with everyone I've tried to make contacts with and gotten good reports, so I'm just going to run it. Now, this is on 130-foot wire, so I'm sure when I go do some POTA activations, QRP, it's going to be a different situation. But for now, it's working. I just got to figure out what all these weird signals are on my scope.
Yeah, you know, I think I got spoiled with digital. let's say I got into Warriors X and C4FM and DMR kind of thing and All-Star. It spoiled me because I can get all over the world and I don't need a yard full of antennas.
Yeah, that's what I started with, was FT-70 and a Pi-Star hotspot off of a Pi-3B that I bought off a guy I worked with for $10. And then I ordered this custom housing from Australia. I don't know why, but I made it like a mini tower. It had a MMPV. I mean, it was sweet. I got to find pictures of it. But once you go open spot, you never go back. But, yeah, that's what I did initially. I mean, this is crazy. Why would I need antennas and all that? And then I don't know what happened somewhere along the way. My mentality completely shifted to, I want to do this all RF. I want to do it with a battery and nothing else in between.
Yeah, there's a what is it, NADUI. It's a repeater over in, where is it, Ann Arbor, I think. And in the morning, they have a net meeting every morning kind of thing. Anyway, Jim, the guy that ran that over there, he was getting done one day, and he said he was going out to do some POTA activations in a park that was right just a couple miles from me. So I asked if he minded if I come and check it out. No, come on over. So I went over there and checked it out. It was pretty cool. I mean, he had everything down pat, a little dolly, and everything set on the dolly, batteries and all this stuff, and a really nifty antenna he stuck up in the yard there with, like, a tripod on it. It was pretty cool. I was impressed. He spent, I think in 35 minutes, he got something like 40 contacts all over the country. It was kind of insane.
And ADBF, that's the ticket. If you got the setup and the power, you should be able to make contacts. Had POTA activations that were phenomenal, you know, 200-plus contacts, and I've had POTA activations where I was scratching out 10 just to activate the park. And the last time I did that, that might have actually been my last activation now that I think about it. Maybe not. A couple years ago, I was at, what the hell is it called? Wetzel with Greg, Dave, and Captain Don, I think. I don't know, maybe Captain Don wasn't there, but it was like 20 degrees. It was freezing cold. We were all outside. I was trying to scratch out a couple more contacts so we could leave. And, man, we were so happy when I got that last one.
Yeah, now that I think about it, too, I think when I went to see that guy in the park there, I think it was over on Cass Lake over here, but I think it was early spring also, and it was pretty chilly out there with the wind chill. Did you, so you said you had an FT-70D? I've got one, too. I'm curious about the battery life on yours.
Oh, it was the same as yours. It was terrible.
Oh, okay. So it's just a model thing. It's I started looking at it. I like the radio. I mean, it's got good audio. It's a nifty little radio, but... Jeez, oh, Pete, you need a whole pocket full of batteries just to go through a net meeting kind of thing. You know, it was loud. And I started looking into the batteries. You got to buy them from China. They might take 6 months to get here. They're kind of expensive. And I thought, no, I'm just going to put this in the corner with the other 991A and let them collect dust.
Yeah, it's a bummer that radio, the battery life's so bad. Now, so the battery life's not as bad as most people think, though. When you see the low battery indicator, you still got quite a bit of time to run before it actually dies. So from what I've experienced, the low battery indicator comes on pretty prematurely.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it seemed like mine, I'd get full charges in them kind of thing, and then go out in the porch to use them, and it seemed like no time at all, 10 minutes or something. And, you know, if you're just receiving, that's fine. Well, that's like any other radio kind of thing, but as soon as you start talking to anybody, it comes out in no time at all.
Yep, I do remember that vividly, and the FT-5 wasn't much better, but at least the FT-5 gave you a bunch of options. That was like the first flagship HD I bought. I did a lot of fusion with that. I ran it as a mobile for a while with a speaker mic and a little cup holder mount, and I actually really liked that radio, and then I jumped on All-Star, because I'd always used it with a speaker mic, and I jumped on, when I got my first All-Star note, I jumped on with that, and everyone said the audio was terrible, so I tested it, and I couldn't believe how bad the audio was on it, so I bought another one, sold that one, bought another one, thinking I had a bad radio. No, the other one did the same exact same thing, so I returned it, and haven't looked back, but what blows my mind is the 7550 I have in the R7, I haven't even seen the battery icon dip, and I've had my R7 on Last week, I had the R7 on all day Saturday monitoring, and the battery icon didn't move.
Wow, that's not too bad. I bought an Anytone, the little brother of the 878, the D168, I guess. And I came in from outside, and I set it on a little table butt next to the door, and I slipped my mind and walked away and came down, watched videos and movies and stuff, and I went to go back out, and I couldn't find the radio. It had been sitting there on that little table scanning for hours, and battery hardly showed any use at all, so I kind of like that.
You said you weren't crazy about that radio, though, yeah? And real quick, whenever I'm keyed or unkeyed and I hear the carrier, or it's just waiting for the carrier, I should say, I got a hum. Are you hearing a hum on my end, or on your end from me?
Nope, not at all. Not at all. It's here. You're nice and quiet and clear. I'm not here.
And talking about that high-pitched hum.
I like that radio. But sometimes I got quite a few of the HCs around here kind of thing, and sometimes I'm a little slow at charging all the batteries kind of thing, so that one ends up being the only one I got charged. Otherwise, I use the 878 or one. I got some Watson, I don't know how you pronounce those. Those are 10 watt, but they're just UHF, VHF, no digital.
WIX.
All right, I think I heard Dave in there, WI8X. Yeah, Rick, I don't know how to pronounce that either. I have a KG935G. I think it's a Wooksen. I don't know. Just a GMRS radio, though, and I haven't unlocked it. I left it as that. I take it out on Lake St. Clair, so if I drop it in the lake, I don't really care. Dave, no, I'm talking about the, like, if you're in the house and you walk by an LED hum, not the LTS machine whine, and then W station, sorry, I already forgot.
Yeah, I heard you say something about a radio that hummed when you used it. What radio was that?
I'm just saying, I'm on a Motorola R7 right now, but it does it with any of my radios in the house, but I was just wondering if it was the repeater or what.
You might have a busy channel lockout on there. If the channel is busy and you key down on it, it would sense a carrier already present, and it would, it's usually an alarm, and it hums back at you, lets you know that the channel is busy.
I turned that off. I know what you're talking about. This is like, I'm keyed up, I'm talking, and then when I unkey and I'm waiting for the carrier to drop, there's like a, the best way to describe it, what I can relate it to, is when you're walking around the house talking and you get some like LED light interference.
Yeah, that hum you heard might be some fluorescent light, or like you're saying, LED. It could be very well. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. I have a few Motorolas here, and they're all set up pretty much the same. Thank you. WIX. Name is Chris.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate the input. I'm actually going to start turning lights off and see what I can figure out.
I can do it, Chris. Take care. Good to hear you.
Hi, Rick. To the other fella, touch lamps will also throw noise into a receiver. It'll throw it into the AC line. In fact, that sometimes the power supply won't be able to filter out. Something to think about. WIX.
So I think I already figured it out. I have two, 18-inch light bars behind my monitors on my desk, and the repeater is directly under it. And as soon as I turn those off, the hum stops. So pretty sure that's what it was. Good call.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to clean up the scope on my 705 too, but that thing's still there. It's weird. I'm watching it like move further down the band.
you know, I got into SDRs and a little USB dongle for the computer because when I first got into this, I kept hearing how the bullpens had these spurious emissions kind of thing. And I thought, I want to see this kind of, you know, I don't know where they are or whatever, so I want to see this. And so I loaded up a bunch of SDRs on the desktop there. And, I'll be darned if it was. And they were putting out spurious emissions all over the place.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yes, they were. They were since the day they came out, Rick. I was with W2PUT at his workplace one day, and he says, "Let's just take a look at this on the spectrum analyzer." He put it on 146.52 simplex, keyed the mic, and it spurred all over the place. All over the bands, all over VHF and UHF, the television band, the unkeyed, rekeyed, and it spurred all over other frequencies as well, military, police, other 2-meter frequencies, other 70-centimeter frequencies, 4 meters, which is what the Brits use, which is 70 megahertz. It was all over the place. I thought, well, I'm never going to own one of them radios. How they got past the FCC with their filter compliance, I don't know. Maybe the spurious stuff is just below, but still not. They're still dirty radios. They have since cleaned up their act, but it took them 10 years.
I've heard the same thing. I don't love those radios. They do have a FCC compliant one. I can't remember what the, it's a UV5R... maybe or something. I don't know. It's supposed to be FCC certified. I don't think the other Bofangs are FCC certified, or the UE5R OG one. I'm pretty sure those something happened where they either banned from import or discontinued or something. They came out with a new iteration that's supposedly compliant. I did the same thing. I've got a Quanshang UVK5 or whatever it is, but you can put firmware on it that allows you to transmit on CB. Well, it works. I talked to truck drivers in my yard when I was getting dirt delivered off of it. But at the same time, I put it on an SDR, and it was transmitting all over airbands, so I don't recommend it. It's only 1 watt out, but still, I mean, if you're shooting straight up in the air, there's no way the planes aren't going to pick it up if it's they're on that frequency.
Oh, absolutely, and they're going to hear it like gangbusters because they're flying in it, you know. Yeah, absolutely. I've read those reports as well, but I don't get the publication that used to give me that report anymore, but I read enough about it. But, yeah, when they first came out at Dayton that year, they were selling the radios with the batteries charged, so guys are turning them on and playing with them right there on the spot. Well, hey, down at Dayton, there's so much RF, you can't tell the difference. But when he got home, we put it on a spectrum analyzer, and everybody in the room was amazed. And I was in a room with a bunch of other repair techs, and they went, oh, my God, look, it's in our band. Then they start checking the repeaters to see if they were getting into the repeaters. They weren't, but still, scary as heck. But at the time... W2PUT worked at, worked for a cop shop and in their radio repair room. And it was amazing. They had all of the specialized equipment to check it on. And when we checked it, we were all just flabbergasted. Like, holy smoke, how could they get away with selling this crap? It's crap. No wonder it doesn't cost a lot of money. They saved money on putting all the adequate filtration into it. But I made a personal vow right there. I'm never going to buy one of them radios. I don't care how cheap they are. Although their DMR equipment is good stuff. I mean, they paid attention there, but not on the regular FM. Not on the UV5R.
Sorry, I was taking my evening pills here. And, yeah, I bought two of the, what is it, UVS 9 Plus. Before I got my license, I bought a pair of them off of Amazon so I could listen to some of the repeaters and learn how to program and listen to etiquette or whatever, how you guys kind of talked and treated each other before I actually got my license. So mostly all I did was listen with them. And then after I tried the FDR thing, I thought, well, these are cool. And they got so much dust on them now I could hardly read the numbers on them. T-8-W-O-J.
Yeah, all the specialized radios that they've come out with since has been, you know, I'd say top shelf. But that initial radio that everybody buys that says, oh, yeah, I'm a ham operator, I got a UD5R, they're all junk. They belong at the bottom of the ocean, I swear. But a lot of guys get their feet wet, and they think it is the best thing since sliced bread because they've never compared it with a real radio. And the real is in capital letters, HI, WIX.
NADBF. I started with an FT60 and never really looked back. I kept going up from there. I have never been fond of Chinese radios. I got a handful of them. Like the Quansheng, and then I do have a DM32, which is what turned me on to spending more money and getting a Motorola. I don't know why that was the gateway drug, but I was playing DMR on that radio. I'm like, if this is how good this $50 radio is, I can't imagine what a Moto is like. But you're right. That Bovang DMR stuff's pretty damn good.
I know it's tempting to a lot of new hams. You know, they hear ham radio is expensive. It is. I mean, the first 2-meter radio I bought was a ICOM 282. I figured, what radio should I get now that I'm a technician? You know, I already had my HF station as a novice. What radio should I get? One guy says, take a look at what everybody's doing, and then you can ask questions. Everybody had a 2AT or a 2AT, 3AT, and a 4AT, 2 meters, 220, 440, respectively. Some guys had Kenwood, and a few had, a company that's no longer around. I can't remember the name of it. Their radios looked a lot like the Kenwoods, I think, or the, Santec. Yeah, Santec radios were like a duplicate copy of whatever Yaser made. And Santec didn't stick around too long, but I bought the first dual-band radio that was made by Yaser. It was called the FT727R. Why was that a handful? I remember a dozen of us went down to Michigan Radio back when it was on South River Road over by Selfridge. We went in there and bought our radios. A week later, we all showed back up, turned them all back in for warranty repair. The radios would not hold the memory. They'd work fine in the VFO mode, but they would not work. Once you tried to commit it to memory, it wouldn't save it. So we sent them back to Yaesu, and a week after that, we all went back. Our radios were there, and everything was working fine. So slight aberration in the way the circuit boards are made. I guess it was a simple fix, but still, all that shipping back and forth. By the way,
you mean you had a problem with the AZ radio? No way.
That was 40 years ago. I still wish that I had a 2AT or a 4AT. They were nice radios. They did not come with PL phones. You had to purchase a tiny PL board and install it yourself. It showed you just where to pull the voltages off of the board and solder into it. And it was dip switchable. But then a few years later, they came out with the ICOM 02AT or the 02A. The 02AT, and then the 03AT, and the 04AT. And a year and a half, 2 years later, they came out with one called the GAT models. It was 2GAT, 4GAT, there never was a 3GAT, and a 12 GAT, which is on 1200. On high power, it gives it one whole watt output. And at the time, we had a repeater right near where Rick lived. It's no longer there.
Well, fellas, I am going to get on out of here. The cats are getting kind of restless here. I got to get them some dinner. So you guys have a good one. We'll catch you later. KDAWOJ.
All right, Rick. I'll catch you later. I'll probably talk to you in the morning. I'm going to take my morning commute from the base station.
See you later, Rick. And the other guy didn't get your name but or your calls, but I'll try to memorize it. WI8X.
WI8X from N8DBF, Dakota. I think we've talked a couple times before, but it's been a minute. So would you say you have more fun? Obviously, the equipment's better, right? But there's obviously a nostalgia component to the older equipment. Did you have more fun playing radio then or no?
Oh, gosh. I used to buy Yaser HF gear, Kenwood VHF and UHF radios, and then I got introduced into the world of Motorola. Across the room, I've got a gang charger, one with a JT-1000 on UHF, a JT-1000 on VHF. They look like the, they're the Jedi series radios. They look like the HT-1000. They have the same battery pack in that. Except the JT models were direct front panel programmable. They only had 16 channels in memory. Everything was involved. It would run simplex, duplex, all the PL frequencies were in there, all of the DCS frequencies were in there, and they had a scrambler on them that was hilarious. When we used them with the federal government, they had an aftermarket scrambler in them that was wired in and all had one of the giant postage stamp type chips on it. When the government got rid of them, they took those out, and it had the the Motorola version of scrambler. You flip the switch on, and what it did was it inverted the audio. Whoop-de-doo. If anybody had a Yaesu 8800, they could figure out what you were using, or 9600, what you were saying, because they had a filter in there for inverted audio. But it was real quick to sidebar that, get that out of the mix. But nice radios. I still have one UHF and one VHF. I got three MTX 9000s for the 33-centimeter band, of which I have a repeater on 927.4.
I didn't have that much of a progression, but I kind of did the same thing. I was buying only ICOM, and then Kenwood came out with that THG-75, which I adored. Still think that's a great radio. And then just recently, I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to try these Motorolas. And ended up with a 7550 and R7, and I ordered a 5550E, and have not regretted my choice yet.
I used to run, I was one of the big Packet mogul radio stations back when Packet was busy, when it was active. I had an emergency radio station at the Northville State Police Post. And I was in there always trying to program and make it better. On Packet radio, you could digipeat from one station to another if you get you to your destined station. And the way we set it up in Northville was, if you digipeated to Lansing, you would have to digipeat through the Northville MSP, and it went in one hop, it made Lansing. No digipeding in between, except for my station, which at the time was NAFZT2 and I think 7. I had on 145.01, 07, and I think 03. I had one on 2 meters, 220, and on 440. It was a lot of fun back then, back in the day. It was great. The county bought me all radios, Kenwood radios, at 2570 for 2 meters. Boy, that 70 watts is something else. It heated fast. I had to put, muffin fans in every radio. A 3530 on 220 and a, can't remember the model number on the UHF radio. I think it was a 25-watt UHF dual bander, the TW4000. I never burned up the TW4000 over the 2570, but the 3530 one day, the computer got hot, the fan quit on it, and it went into an overload thing, and it stuck the transmitter on the high power. Dead carrier. Someone came into Michigan Radio, because I used to work there, and hey, your 220 station has been transmitting for like 6 hours. And I'm like, well, gee, thanks for letting me know. Why didn't you call? But I ended up leaving that day early and going down there to... I mean, I'm surprised it didn't set off the fire suppression units in the room that it was in. I mean, you could smell it. As soon as I got to the door with the key, you could smell that cooking electronics type of thing. WIDX. And I got in there and I couldn't even touch the radio to shut it off. I had to turn all the power supplies off and give it a chance to cool down. The computer was toast. It was donated by MSP, so I got that out of there, and I put another XT in its place. And then later on, went to a computer show that following weekend and bought a couple of 386SXs with monster fans on them. Never had the problem again.
Yeah, from what I've experienced, read, heard, been told, that he's the enemy of radios. I've got a ICOM, what the hell is it, F100, maybe, CS, I don't know. Got a little ICOM repeater, 45-watt. It's just two mobile stacked in a box with a power supply and a duplexer. That was the first thing I did, was put bigger, quieter fans in it to protect it for long, you know, key-ups and key-sos and whatnot. Like, this thing's been running for, I don't know, probably the last 45 minutes to an hour. And it's been transmitting the whole time, and it's staying nice and cool. I feel like we got in the weeds there. Did you ever play with a Motorola Astro? Or an Astro Saber? Motorola Astro Saber, I should say. I can't talk.
The only Astro I've got is a XGS 5000. Yeah, I'm familiar with them. I know a few guys that had them. One guy probably still has his. He's got probably the largest collection of Motorola handhelds I've ever seen, and he bought them just to learn about radio and programming and such. I don't know if you run into Joe, KCAJOE.
I don't know that I've ever heard that call sign.
You can't remember his previous call. It was not far from the current one, but his first name is Joe. Joseph, and he saw the call was up, so he put in for it as a vanity call. And I thought, hey, that's kind of neat, man. Get your own name, you know. Too bad our suffixes aren't 5 letters long, otherwise I would have Kilowatt 8 Chris, you know. But anyway, yeah, I've been through the motions. I've bought radiuses and... Max tracks of all kinds. The one that I really liked was the Spectre line. I love that blue gas display that they had on the radios. I had one of each. I had one on 2 meters on VHF, one on 440, and a few of them on 900, and I had the stack on my hump in my year 2000 Explorer. Got pulled over by a cop one day, and he looked inside my car. He goes, "Holy smokes, who do you talk to on those radios?" At the time, the police department that pulled me over, they had RCA radios on their hump, just one. I go, "Just about anybody I want to, if I can program it." He goes, "Can you talk to me?" He says, "I heard you coming through my radio at the traffic light." I says, "No, what you heard was fundamental overload. The radio I was running was had a 100-watt deck, a 110-watt deck. I had it set for 90 watts. It was, I guess, sitting next to a cop car. Yeah, when I talked, I was the only one that he heard."
Yeah, 100 watts, if you're driving right by him, I'm sure that's going to overload whatever he's got in his car. Give me a minute here. I'm going to jump out. I got kids destroying the house, but I'll be back here shortly. I'm looking at cardboard boxes strewn about, so I'm going to go make them clean that up, and I'll be back. At 8 DBF.
73, WT8X. WT8X,
KEHJNF. You on? KEHJNF. WTX.
Oh, that's weird. I'm not hearing it now. Must be something somewhere else. But yeah, it was a pretty good whine that was coming through, so just wanted to make sure it wasn't my node here.
It's the LTS repeater.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I heard a little bit of a buzzing whine every once in a while when you were transmitting, Riley. I don't know who just came back and said it was the LTS repeater, but there we go. That must be it.
Yeah, that works. Was that Dave?
Yeah, my battery's about to die, otherwise I'd say stay longer, but high and by, I guess. I can't wait out.
All right, yeah, high and by. I'll catch up with you a little bit later. All right, Riley, there we go. WT8X.
Perfect, thank you, sir. Are you going to be around tonight, or are you pretty busy?
So it depends on this puppy. I should be around, but whether I will be chasing her around and stopping her from biting everybody, that's to be determined.
You're connected to CMN Network.
I was going to see if you wanted to hop on Meets real quick, and I can show you all the stuff on the state website. Yeah, if not, no biggie. We can do it some other time.
If you want to do it right now, I can.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm in the middle of getting dinner ready, so I can't do it right now. I was thinking maybe like 8-ish or so, 8:30 maybe.
Yeah, that might work. Just text me first. And then we'll go from there.
Sounds good. All right, we'll talk to you. KHJNF.
All right. See ya. WT8X.
WT8X from WI8X.
WI8X. Hey, that's a new one.
No, it's an old one, actually. It's a vanity call. I got it from a guy who used to be one of my customers when I worked at Michigan Radio. I always liked the call, and I saw it available. I went, "Oh, my gosh, Dick must have passed away." So I took the call. Question, I noticed your last name. You're not in any way related to Sean T., are you?
Nope, I am not.
bet you get that a lot, huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty popular name. And I'm kind of shocked because there's even a guy in town who has the same first and last name, and we get our orders mixed up every once in a while. It's kind of funny.
Oh, wow, yeah, imagine that. Imagine you're both getting something from the same company. Oh, wow. Yeah, that could happen, yeah? Wow. All right. Name is Chris, Charlie Hotel Romeo India Sierra, or can ham radio interrupt sex, stereos, and I've been using that ever since I got my general. I used it on mid-cars back in 87, and put mid-cars into silence mode for at least 10 seconds. Net control says that'll be enough out of you, FZG. My call at the time was November 8, Fox Zulu Tango.
That's funny. And my call used to be Kilo Bravo 8 Papa Foxtrot Zulu. And I got that back in 93. And I did it when I was a teenager. Then, you know, young adult life happened, bars and party and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of got out of the radio stuff and picked it back up kind of during the COVID era, got my general, and then got my extra, and then decided to change my call because trying to throw it out in the mix on HF on popular stations, it just wasn't working. It was too long. So I found this one, the WT8X. I'm like, oh, that's got a nice ring to it. And I applied, and I only applied for one, and I got it. I was shocked.
Oh, yeah, and the greatest part about working a pilot station is yelling, 8X-ray! And then me, with my G90, 8X-ray QRP, I get called the first time.
Yep, I've got a G90, too, and do the same thing. It works like a charm.
Yes, it does. Nice to make your acquaintance, Jim. Timothy, what do you want to be called?
Well, my name is actually Aaron, Alpha Alpha Romeo Oscar November, and last name is Smith.
Okay, I won't go there then. Okay. All right, real good. Nice to make your acquaintance, and, now you can say you work in 8X-ray besides just looking in the mirror when you're talking to HD.
That's right. Yep. All right. Got to run. Nice talking to you. I'll be WT8X. I'll be clear.
WI8X. 73.
That ain't DDF.
Connected to CMN Network.
WATD.
WVHLL, KFA, BIC. KFA, BIC is clear.
You're connected to CMN Network. currently connected to CMN Network.
KEAX testing. Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray testing.
What's up, Dean? Cliff here, NACAM. I can hear you pretty good. Audio's a little on the quiet side, but you're coming through pretty clear.
Hey, Cliff, I appreciate it. I'm testing this little Yagi antenna on the HT coming in at Richmond from New Haven. I don't know why I'm quiet, but I appreciate you coming back. Thank you. This is KE8LEX.
Well, you're most welcome. Sorry it took me as long as it did. I was driving next to a couple of really loud vehicles, and I couldn't quite hear who was saying what. But yeah, everything seems to be working all right on your end.
Copy that. I appreciate it. I was just playing with these antennas we built at that one meeting, and I just wanted to see if I could get it to resonate properly, and I got it on my... on my nano VNA, so I just wanted to test off to figure out if this HT is actually quiet or if it's the antenna causing issues. But I do definitely appreciate it. I will say 7-3, this is KE8LAX. I'll be clear on your final.
Well, you're welcome, of course. Interesting to know that you're using that particular antenna to transmit. It's doing a pretty good job. I'll say that for you. Anyways, I'm almost home myself. So at that, I'll say 73s and all the other good numbers to you as well. This is NACAF, clear.
Connected to CMN Network.